to introduce Brother Jay's class, which is entitled Reflection. He's asked that we take a reading from the second epistle of Timothy and chapter 1, and our brother John Pillion is going to read that for us now, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thanks very much, Brother John. This is Okanagan Central Ecclesia's year-end gathering 2020. Speaker for the week is, or for the weekend, is Brother Jay Mayock. His overall title is Timothy, Man of God, and this is his final class, class number 5, with the title of Reflection. Brother Jay.
Thank you very much, Brother Dan, and I'm just going to need some of a permission to be able to share my screen from whoever has the virtual authority in our meeting right now. And just while we're waiting on that, I just wanted to thank everybody so much, brothers and sisters, for the privilege it's been to speak to you about these studies and for your fellowship in the gospel from the beginning until now. Sister Rebecca and Mariah and Bethel, we all have very fond memories of spending time with you when we've come out. And I think every time we've come out, we've stayed with Sister Katie and Uncle Mike and Aunt Brenda, and we send our love to them and to everybody, even though we're only able to meet in this particular way right now. So as we turn our thoughts now to the final study that we have, we've decided to call it Reflection, which is all about the later journeys of Timothy, where we have to do a little more piecing together about what happens in Timothy's life. And so I think what we'll do is we'll do what we have done in the past and just make sure that we take a look at the ecclesias in the world at that time, some of them anyway, the ones with whom Timothy had to do especially, and consider how that brings us up to our consideration of Timothy later on in his life. So moving from east to west, we have Galatia and Asia, Macedonia and Achaia, which is also called Greece as well. And that I hope you find that as helpful as I found it in moving through these areas and looking at the how the word of God took root in these areas. It really does help out a lot. We've been through the first missionary journey in the first class, where Timothy was inspired and his family was inspired by the preaching of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas when they came to visit at Lystra. It was there that Paul was stoned and taken out for dead. And the believers there stood around him. He rose up, got back into the city, went to Derbe to preach and establish a meeting. And then he came back to Lystra and worked his way back all through the areas of where the Jews were persecuting him, as an amazing example and inspiration to Timothy. And so by the time that the Apostle Paul and Silas come around in the second missionary journey, they pick Timothy up for the work. In the third missionary journey, we had our two classes, the one that was entitled Exhortation, when Paul left Timothy in Ephesus with the responsibility of the meeting before him while he was away in Macedonia and probably Corinth as well. And it was also during that third missionary journey that Paul would send Timothy and Titus before he himself went to finish the collection of the Jerusalem Poor Fund. And they made it to Corinth, from which they set sail and skipped along the coast of Asia until they came to Jerusalem, also meeting in Acts chapter 20 with the elders of Ephesus, who he said he would see no more. That was the last time that Paul would see them. And now we're coming to our final class, which is all about Timothy's later journeys. And so that's where we are right now. That's numbers 17 through 22 in our list here. And so if you look over here, you can see we go from Rome, probably to Philippi, to Jerusalem, to Ephesus, to Rome again, we believe. And there's good reason to believe Timothy was back in Ephesus after that, although that's the piece that we don't have any scriptures, as far as I can tell, about. If you do have any additional places that you think ought to be in this list, I just ask that you please let me know, because I want to get it included in there just so I have his full journeys. So how is it that Timothy ends back up in Ephesus, which is where most of our remarks are going to be about? After all, it was in Ephesus that Timothy was when he received that final letter from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So it begins in Lystra. And from Lystra, in the second missionary journey, they journeyed to Philippi, to Thessalonica, and then quickly to Berea. And Paul was sent quickly to Athens, swiftly, because of the persecution coming from Thessalonica. And Timothy and Silas would later meet up. But Timothy was sent back by Paul and Silas, it seems, or at least they all agreed to send Timothy back, that he would be the one to deliver a message to the Thessalonians, that they would hang on and continue in the faith, and that it was through much tribulation that they should enter the kingdom of God. And everybody knew about the struggles of the Thessalonians, and they were becoming fellowshipping even more closely with their brothers and sisters, many of whom they had never met in Judea because of the afflictions that they had suffered of their countrymen, it says. And so there was probably a lot of back and forth here from Timothy, from Paul and Silas back to Thessalonica. Timothy made that journey, we believe, a couple of times, probably bearing the very letters to the Thessalonians. And then eventually, Paul ends up in Corinth, and Silas and Timothy, who had traveled from Macedonia, meet Paul in Corinth, as it's recorded in Acts chapter 18 at verse 1. And then they did make a brief stop in Ephesus on their way back to the ecclesia at Antioch, which officially ended the second missionary journey. And the third missionary journey, there was an initial travel through Galatia and Phrygia. And we like to imagine that Timothy may have seen his mom and maybe even his grandma at that particular time, had they not fallen asleep, visiting this very region. And because we know that Lystra and Iconium and Antioch are all in Galatia, we imagine that those were the meetings that they would have visited. Derbe also as well. And then they traveled over to Ephesus. And Paul spent quite a bit of time there in Ephesus. There's a three-month period before he separated himself and the disciples. And then there was a two-year period that he was there. And all in all, it was about a three-year period, the apostle tells us in Acts chapter 20. But during that time, he did leave Timothy in charge when he went into Macedonia and probably Corinth, and Timothy stayed behind to manage the affairs of the ecclesia as best he could in Paul's absence. And we have all that counsel in 1 Timothy about how it was that an ecclesia should be organized and how error should be dealt with and how the end of the commandment in all things must be love. So Timothy also traveled over from Ephesus to Corinth. And perhaps it was that he went through Macedonia to Corinth, as this map suggests. That was the 12th step on the map. And he had his mission there to Corinth, which we believe was unsuccessful, because it wasn't until Timothy met Paul in Macedonia that Titus came afterwards, letting them know that the Corinthians had been brought back in their affections to Paul, and by extension to Timothy as well. And so they together, after Titus was sent again, move into Greece, which of course would be Achaia, of course it would be Corinth, to collect that Jerusalem poor fund. And from there, they went back into Macedonia, where they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread and skipped along the coast, beginning at Troas, meeting there on an island off the coast of Asia with the elders of Ephesus before they made it to Jerusalem for the poor fund. And now we come to the latter journeys of Timothy. And where we get this is we know that Paul is now imprisoned. Paul had made his trip to Rome. Timothy had not been on the ships that made it, that took Paul and that great company to Rome, the 276 aboard, the shipwrecked ship. Timothy wasn't there. We do know that Aristarchus was there. We do know that Luke was there, but we don't believe that Timothy was there. But eventually he does make it to Rome, where Paul is imprisoned. And so we read about that in Philippians, Colossians, and also Philemon, which speak about Paul being in prison in each of those epistles. So maybe just have a look at Philippians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. And to fill in some of the details for this, that video that I think it was Brother Josh Bartholomew I received that you sent around for the young people to watch. Wow, that was really well done. And that fills in some of the details of this period as well. So we look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he starts talking about the bonds which he has experienced. And he mentions those in verse 7. You see where it says there in verse 7, in my bonds. And he was longing to see them. God is my record, verse 8. How greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. So Paul and Timothy, Timothy's ministering to Paul there in Rome, and he writes to the Philippians. And he actually writes saying, we know that Timothy is, he's not in prison with Rome, or with Paul at Rome, but he is visiting, he's ministering to Paul. Because, what we read about that a little bit later on, because in Philippians chapter 2, the very next chapter, beginning at verse 19, we have these words. Paul says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And that was the custom of Paul, and it's not just a custom. Those were the feelings of Paul for his brothers and sisters. He said that to the Thessalonians. We just couldn't handle it anymore. We had to find out how you were doing. And so Timothy was sent to the Thessalonians. And now he's about to be sent again to the Philippians, the warm-hearted, generous, helpful Philippians who ministered to Paul when he couldn't make ends meet in Thessalonica or in Corinth. The Philippians were those of Macedonia who supplied for him so freely. And he says in verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. We brought up this passage before. It has to do with the genuine care that Timothy had of his brothers and sisters. It was just like Paul. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So there was Timothy being sent. And there's that passage we had brought up before. See, in the ESV, it talks about how Timothy was genuinely concerned. And it has to do, it's a wonderful word. The word means true born as distinct from adopted or illegitimate. So it's a word that really fits in wonderfully with how Timothy had already been described as a son with the Father. He served with me in the gospel. Well, after visiting the Philippians, maybe it was that he went back to Rome to be with Paul. It's possible that from Philippi, he went to Jerusalem. It's really hard to say, but we do know that there was an expectation, at the least, that Timothy was set at liberty so that he could go to Jerusalem. That's what Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 23 suggests to us. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. So whether you take this as Paul being the writer to the Hebrews, or Luke, as it's been suggested, or Apollos, as I've heard it suggested, I don't know about you. I haven't done a detailed study of all of it, but Timothy is at least coming with this brother, who, after reading Hebrews, I have such a hard time after a number of years believing it could be anyone other than Paul, but that's just me. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, the ESV says, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. And then we come to 2 Timothy now, because Timothy is now back in Ephesus. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 15, there's a reference to Timothy being at least in this particular area. Because it says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." So Timothy would have known that. And Paul says, "This you certainly know." It implies that he was there. And perhaps Timothy was, in fact, in this very region right now. Perhaps he was in that very city where he had ministered so diligently in. There's also another little suggestion that we get a little bit later on in verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's a whole list of where people were being sent. And in verse 12, it says, Paul says that Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So there was a lot of work going on in that particular area. In fact, in all of these areas, and it's very possible that here in Asia, as Paul suggests to Timothy, not that he suggests to Timothy, but that he's reminding Timothy of what he already knows, that there was it was a very difficult place to be in the truth at this particular time. So what do we know about Timothy here in 2 Timothy, where he had received this particular letter from the Apostle Paul? Well, we have to remember that Timothy was absolutely no coward. Have we established that so far? But Timothy was definitely not a coward. This was the Timothy who decided to take up the truth in a city where one of the first preachers who had ever come there with the gospel had been stoned, apparently to death. This is the Timothy who went back to the city of Thessalonica because his longing for them and to see how they had done in the truth was greater than any fear he could have of going back to a persecuting city. This is the Timothy who lived in Ephesus. This is the Timothy who suffered hunger and thirst and nakedness and buffeting, it says, when he was with Paul in Ephesus. Timothy was no coward, but Timothy was struggling. And one of the lessons that come out of this particular place in Timothy's life is that there are times when we all must be reminded about the first principles of the gospel and how they must affect our lives. And so a lot of the things that Paul says to Timothy, who's been in the truth for such a long time now, are not new things. The truth is deep, but the truth is not a complicated thing. And Timothy needed to be reminded of the very simple facts of the truth and the simple ways of life that flow out of an acceptance of the truth. And it appears that he was struggling with these things. But look at what he says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy was struggling here. He was afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy. He was crying. I'm mindful of your tears, Timothy. He was really struggling where he was in the truth at this particular time. He was afraid and he was sad, and he needed to be encouraged back into a right frame of mind, of having a sound mind. And how can we blame Timothy for feeling this way? Brethren were leaving the truth, it says, and some brethren were choosing a life of sin. Later on, we read not just about Phygellus and Hermogenes, but we read about Demas, who left because he loved this present age. And what that was showing Timothy was that their faith was not real. And brothers and sisters, we have to remember, young people, we have to remember that our faith is ultimately a personal thing. We don't mean personal in the sense of selfish or personal as in it's all about me, it's not about you. But what we do mean is that it has to be personal. It has to be something that affects us personally, that we really are bound up with in our affections, in what we really think about, and in what we really value in life. When we stand before Christ, it will just not do to say, well, this person left, or she wasn't a good example to me. Our faith is ultimately personal. So in Timothy really struggling, how would you encourage someone struggling like that? And I don't know that we have all the right answers for exactly how to encourage someone who's struggling. I think we do the best we can. We've got wonderful examples from Scripture where we can give help and support to those who need it. And there are different ways to give that help and support. And sometimes it can be a very strong warning. Sometimes it can be a softer touch. Sometimes encouragement needs to be given. But what Paul decides to do for Timothy is to remind him about what inspired him in the first place. Why do you think he's talking about his mom? Why do you think he's talking about his grandma? Because he's encouraging Timothy to remember where he came from. Remember the faith of those two women, Timothy. I know that's still in you. And one of the things that the apostle continues to do throughout this book is to bring Timothy back to the days when the fire of the word of God was burning brightly in his heart. He says to him, you've got to fan that gift into flame again. You stir up the gift of God which is in you. Fan it back into flame. Get it burning again, Timothy. And he reminds him about where he's come from. Just turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, because he does it again over here. It's wonderful to see how he does this. after talking about how it will be in the last days, about how men will be lovers of their own selves and lovers of money and all of those last day challenges which are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, which we know about. After that, he says in verse 10, "But you, Timothy, you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience." And then he says, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra." Now, of all the places that the Apostle Paul could have picked to talk about his afflictions, I mean, everywhere he went, he was afflicted. He couldn't go into the water without suffering something that he could add into 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to chronicle all those things that he had gone through. Shipwrecks, perils among thieves, wherever he went. Everywhere he went. Why does he focus in on Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? It's because those were the places of trial for the Apostle Paul in the first missionary journey. The first time that he came to visit Timothy's city, Lystra. And the Apostle Paul says, "Timothy, you've fully known these things," probably because he saw them himself. And it was as a result of that preaching, Mom came into the truth. She believed. And Paul's trying to remember, trying to remind him to get back to those inspiring moments in the truth. So it's worth reflecting on. What are those experiences that brought us so close to God that convinced us that we had better get baptized right then? What brought us to that realization? And who are the people that were involved that we can thank God for? It's a wonderful thing to think about. That's what Paul's doing for Timothy right here. And he does it again because he says, he's encouraging Timothy because there's a great persecution that is about to come upon him. Perhaps he was in the middle of it right now. In verse 11, the apostle says, "Those persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Who had he learned those things from an infant? He's going back to the very beginning, Timothy, to remind him, to encourage him. Don't give up. There's a work to be done, Timothy. You think Timothy didn't know his mom and his grandmother were faithful? You think he didn't remember the persecutions that had happened to the Apostle Paul in those days that he had probably seen himself? Of course he knew those things, but he needed to be reminded of them. And sometimes we need to be reminded of them when we get low too. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need to encourage each other. And so the Apostle Paul considers his son in the faith, Timothy, because that's what he's called him from the very beginning. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." As far as inspiration and spiritual things go, the father figure in Timothy's life was the Apostle Paul himself. And had Timothy's natural father been an inspiration to him in spiritual things, no doubt he would be in here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, along with Lois and Eunice, along with the references to Paul's early persecution in the first missionary journey, in the very area that Timothy began his own witness in the truth. But the Apostle Paul is saying to his son in the faith, stick to the scriptures. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Timothy, you've grown into a wonderful man. Stay in your Bible. I've helped raise you to be a man, to be a man of God. From a child, your mom, your grandma started you off. I've kept you going. Don't quit now. That's the message of Paul to Timothy here. Be a soldier, he says elsewhere in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just back into 2 Timothy 2 quickly, just to pick this up. Look what he says in verse 1. My son, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And here's another piece of remembrance here in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now think about this. Why in the world would the Apostle Paul write to Timothy and say, hey, remember that Jesus rose from the dead according to my gospel? Do you think Timothy would have thought, you know, it's been a while since I thought about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? He knew all about that. But that simple first principle, repeated by the Apostle Paul, would mean something deeper than just the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead. Because Timothy himself was experiencing persecution. Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. They killed him. They crucified him in that same persecution that they were experiencing. Wherein I suffer trouble, the apostle says, as an evildoer, even unto bonds. And then there's like one of the best phrases ever in 2 Timothy. It's one of my personal favorites. Not that you can rate them, but as far as importance goes, but I love this. But the word of God is not bound. What a great one. Paul's in prison. You think, why would you ever put in prison a guy like the Apostle Paul? In the providence of God, why would you do that? But we're reading his stuff right now. The word of God is not bound, not then, not now. And the same word that inspired Timothy and that inspired Paul is in our hands right now. And it can inspire the same faith, and it is inspiring the same faith in us and in families, in the truth, today, now, in the days before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. It's happening now. It's happening. It's doing its work now. So who is Timothy? I hope that you feel that you've gotten to know him better, as I know I feel I've gotten to know our brother Timothy better in going through this study. So we've got a completed chart now, and we can add a couple more to it. We see that Timothy was sometimes emotional and afraid. But we know that he was also a faithful brother, a beloved son of the Apostle Paul, who had a genuine faith. And if you want something a little bit easier, if you want to put this in your Bible, you might want to take a look at that. That's just a different way to have a look at it, if you'd like to take a screenshot of that. Well, let's keep moving on because we have another couple clicks to go. And really, of all of the ways that we could describe Timothy, I think this is about as succinct as we can get. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 17. Verse 16 for context. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me, Paul says. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every ecclesia. So to be Timothy is to be like the Apostle Paul, and to be like the Apostle Paul is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And how important it is for us to be good examples to each other because of this. And it doesn't matter if we're, it doesn't matter what position or what role we occupy in the ecclesia or in our families. Show me a person that doesn't have to be Christ-like in their lives. Show me someone who doesn't need to be an example to those around us. In other words, we can all be Christ to each other. From children and siblings and a family, we can be an example to bring people closer to Christ. No matter who we are and whatever role or situation we're in, we can do this. We can use the power of example to inspire others to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if we do that, even when we do that, there are times where those who bring to remembrance, like Timothy tried to do for Paul to the brothers and sisters at Corinth, there will come times where even those brothers and sisters, and we all know this, will need to be reminded too about how we need to suffer for the gospel. And it's a difficult thing to be in the middle of when those trials are sharp, but it is part of the process by which God is saving us. It's part of that tribulation that we're all caught up in, that we can comfort each other in and bring each other through as best we can. He will bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, again, we can see Paul, and he wants to, getting the feeling that that verse is probably not the verse we want to look at. But the Apostle Paul does ask for Timothy to come see him. And the verse that you should see up there instead of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, should be 2 Timothy chapter 4 at verse 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter, he says. So we believe that Timothy probably made that trip, although there's no record of it. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, Paul says, when you come, bring it with you, and the books, but especially the parchments. And he talks about Alexander the coppersmith. This is another hint that we get that this is taking place in Ephesus. This is someone who caused the apostle a great deal of difficulty. And we read about him in 1 Timothy chapter 1, as the margin suggests to us there. It's another hint to suggest to us that Timothy's in Ephesus, because we get these names connected with it. And in order to get up over to Rome, you'd probably have to head up to Troas and move through, as Timothy probably would have. So he heads to Rome. We hope he met with the Apostle Paul, and we can only refer to tradition now, because tradition says that as Timothy had been ministering in Ephesus for so long, that he, after visiting with Paul, went back to Ephesus to spend his final days there. And so that would have been the final time, we believe, that the Apostle Paul and Timothy, his son in the faith, were together. And although we don't know what happened, if Timothy went back to Ephesus, or exactly what happened, if in fact he did go back to Ephesus, but this is what the tradition says. And maybe what I'll do is just show you what some people have called the crest of Timothy. Again, we don't know this to be true, brothers and sisters, but because of what Paul was encouraging Timothy to prepare for, it makes me think that it probably is true. Paul is encouraging Timothy to get ready for some really hard persecution. And so apparently, what you're about to see on the screen is what's known as the crest of Timothy. And you might be thinking, what in the world is all that? Well, let's just go back to the first missionary journey. Remember what happened there when Timothy probably saw exactly, he was at least fully acquainted with the persecutions that Paul had experienced there in Lystra. And Paul was stoned at Lystra. But the stones which fell upon Paul, his father in the faith at that time, Timothy escaped from. And it seems that Barnabas also escaped from those stones as well. And in the second missionary journey, when Paul and Silas are joined by Timothy on that work of proclamation throughout Macedonia, you'll remember that Paul and Silas made it to Philippi, where Paul and Silas were beaten with rods. But Timothy wasn't there in the prison cell, and he wasn't there being beaten either by the rods of the authority at Philippi. Because in the providence of God, it wasn't yet time for Timothy to experience those things just yet. But the reason that this particular crest is associated with Timothy is because, according to the tradition, when Timothy was in Ephesus, he was witnessing against the idolatry of the day, much like in his father in the faith had done. And the authorities did not take to that very well in the city of Ephesus. And without speaking to all the details, what the tradition says is that essentially the stones from which Timothy was spared in the first missionary journey that fell upon Paul, and the rods that did not fall upon Timothy's back in Philippi, all came to bear on his body in Ephesus, where he suffered finally for the gospel, as so many of the other apostles and servants of the truth had in those days. Our brother Timothy, his good fight of faith is over, and he leaves behind a powerful example for us, just as the Apostle Paul did. All brothers and sisters who did all that they could to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and the inspiring love that he left on record in his marvelous life. And the question for us is that now that Timothy has fallen asleep, is where are the Timothys today? Where are the brothers and the sisters, and where are the young people who are sincere, whose consciences they strive to keep pure, who are not obsessed about gaining as much knowledge of the world as they can and all the curious arts of Ephesus? Where are those Timothys who are willing to sacrifice for others, who are not paralyzed by their fear, who still feel fear, but whose faith is able to cast out that fear so that they can move ahead in the truth? Where are those young people who encourage and can be encouraged, who help and who can take help when they need it? Where are the brothers and sisters and young people who can be examples to one another? And I think, brothers and sisters, in these last days before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that we have very good reason to hope, because I believe we have very good examples before us. Because when we look at each other, we realize that we have been and we can still be Timothys to one another. And when we do that, we're not just being Timothy to one another. We are being Christ to one another. And we couldn't do any better than that. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Amen.